What's up, levelers? Welcome back to another lit episode of High Level Chronicles. I'm your host, Chris, joined always by my co-host, Brian. What's up, bro?
What's up?
Oh, man, you know, today's episode, if you're not watching on YouTube, we have a very special guest, Matthew Brockmeyer, an award-winning horror writer, cannabis farmer from Humboldt County, of course. Come on, man. And co-host of the Murder Coaster podcast. We're going to be diving deep into the intersection of cannabis culture, entertainment, the impact on legalization, his murder podcast. We're just going to dig into shit with him. But first, as always, let's kick things off with our leveled up segment. Brian, I'm looking at you first this week. What do you see over there on Discord right now?
All right. Timothy G says, what's up, bros? I was leveling up on some Fire Diesel and watching Three Body Problems on Netflix. This shit has me shook.
Dude, Three Body Problem. I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Wonderboy98 said, yo, I was leveling up my character on WWE 2K24 and dabbing on some Lemon Haze Crumble.
WWE 2K24, I think it just came out just a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or two ago. Not long. It hasn't been long. Let me say here, I got one last one from our listeners on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it nowadays. At Games4Days77 says, what's up, fellas? I leveled up on some Classic Jack and played some COD Mobile. I'm assuming he means Jack Herrera, right? So it sounds like our levelers have been having a good time over the last week. Brian, what have you been leveling up on, man? What are you?
We got some Purple Punch this week. Some nice Purple dabs Punch. And of course Rebirth Island. Can't let it go by.
Rebirth dropped this week.
Or yes, well, it did.
This episode will come out next week, but it dropped last week. So Rebirth Island. I actually got caught up in that. I was telling you before our guest came over anything, like I played it for the first time yesterday. Since with everything I have going on with work and everything,
right?
And 2 hours later, I'm like realizing that 2 hours had gone by. Like I was back in Rebirth, like it was just yesterday. So I can feel that.
You ready? Because we're gonna do that tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I'll tell you, and let me tell you why I'm not doing tonight. I'm a huge wrestling fan, man. It's WrestleMania weekend. That's tonight and tomorrow. I am fucking so ready for this. Me and the wife, that's when we went to the store and shit this morning.
We're going to make a charcuterie board.
I'm making some buffalo chicken dip. Here after the podcast and everything, we're making some homemade pizzas, like each our own. I'm going to make a barbecue chicken pizza.
Fancy
she
shit.
Gonna make a we're just going to do it all, whatever. But as for me, man, I've been enjoying some Warheads, which is a nice fucking indica. Just like one of our listeners, though, the wife and I have been watching Three Body Problem. And man, that show is fucking wild. We just finished episode 5 or 6 last night, actually. 6, I think. I think there's 2 more episodes left. And dude, it just keeps getting wilder and wilder. And let me tell you something. For anybody that has watched it or might be thinking about watching it, you will hear about episode 5. Episode 5 is brutal. I mean, kids, baby. I mean, it's insane. And it's from the writers.
Check it out.
The writers of Game of Thrones. It's from them.
What is it again? Okay.
It's called Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And it's by the writer. It's by the people of Game of Thrones. So you can just imagine if you're a Game of Thrones fan or ever watched Game of Thrones, how brutal some episodes of Game of Thrones
fantasy?
Was. It is. So let me tell you. So Three Body Problem, if you all don't know, it's an old astrophysicist term for when, like, we have the Earth and the Moon, right? That's a two-body, right. Two-body problem. When you add any other type of, anything from space, so say Venus or Mars would enter our atmosphere for whatever, and we have a three-body problem. We're not spinning in the same anymore. So what this show is, it's, without giving too much away, it's alien, right? They found a way to communicate light years away with another plant. Well, we didn't find a way. They found a way to communicate with us. And it's by gaming. That's what makes it so good for this show. It's a headset. Okay. It looks like a fucking VR headset. It randomly shows up and they have put it on and they end up in this world, which is actually their world. But they are slower than us at learning things, right? So they did invent one little thing, which is called, they call a sophon, which is smaller than a proton. And which is a mini computer that can hold trillions of data, and they sent it to Earth, and it can pick up everything we've done. So they're learning now faster than we are. So they are saying we're coming, but then they realize who the human race really is. that everybody in the human race, and I don't care who you are, we can all admit this, right? You're a liar. We've all lied at some point. And they said, we cannot coexist with liars, so we will not save you anymore. They were helping us. Nobody ever knew they were helping us, keeping people alive, doing stuff this whole time. And now they have nothing to do. So it's like, that's where I'm at right now on the show. So I don't know what's going to happen, but dude, it's so fucking wild. And like, it is, yeah, it's like, it's a whole nother level of fucking, it's good. You definitely have to watch it. It's definitely something good. And enough about us though.
Yeah.
Let's welcome our special guest for today, Matthew. Thanks for joining us. I want to jump right. What have you been leveling up on, man? What have you been leveling up on this week?
Let's see. I've been drinking this Keef soda, 100 milligrams of THC, and smoking Gush Mint, and watching the Love Has Won cult documentary.
Love Has Won.
Have you seen that? It's like these crazy hippies in Colorado, and they think this woman is God. And whoa, she just likes to drink vodka, and it's documentary. It's all true. She eventually, I think it's on HBO Max. Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Okay. I just need to know where to look stuff up at.
Her liver starts to fail from drinking so much vodka, so she turns to colloidal silver to help her. And you know, she's a god. She's the god. She is the literal god, and she turns herself blue from that stuff. You know.
What?
And then she dies, and then they like haul her corpse around the country, and it slowly mummifies, and they drape her in lights and makeup, and they're putting her on YouTube and stuff, and eventually the cops are called. The whole party comes to an end.
That sounds like an interesting,
pretty wild,
wild thing too. You said, what did you say you were? What you said, Kushmints?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What are you? Is that flower? Or are you a dab? What is your go to for?
Lately, my thing has really just been like gummies and sodas, to be honest. But I like vape pens, and I like just plain puffing big old fatties too. You know,
oh, yeah.
So I can tell you more than likely. So we'll get into. I mean, fuck it, let's dive right in. You've been growing weed in Humboldt County, which everybody knows Humboldt County. What I mean, it's like the Godfather County of weed, for to say the least. But you've been doing it for over 25 years, practically since the dawn of medical marijuana. Tell us a bit about how you first got involved in the Humboldt County cannabis scene. What drew you to that world?
Well, I was one of them Grateful Dead heads, and I first came to Humboldt County in 1990 to see Jerry Garcia play in Southern Humboldt at on the Eel there. And I was pretty impressed with just the insanity. The hog farm was doing the security, so it was completely lax. I just swam into the show. And there was like naked people everywhere. And, you know, 1990 was pretty wild. Everyone's smoking huge fatties. And
so let me ask, let me interrupt you real quick. How old were you at the time? Because I don't know how
old you were. I was like 18, 19.
Okay. So you were just hitting your adult phase. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And from there, I actually lived in Amsterdam for a little bit in the 90s. That's how much I loved weed. I was like, wherever it is, I'm going there. Wow. And then, ended up back in the States. And I was living in Oregon, went to college there. And I just started knowing all these growers somehow in Humboldt. And would come down here and trim and work and help people harvest. And, then me and my wife decided to get our own little farm in 1998. It's when I got my medical first in 98.
So you got that property value and everything now is worth.
No, it plummeted again. It went up. Yeah, dude, I got it for like around $150,000. It was 40 acres. It's part of an old hippie commune called Shit Fuck Piss. I mean, you know, it's completely off grid. It's way down a dirt road, but a beautiful community of all these crazy hippies. Like the elementary school where my kids went to school is just awesome. It was it was built by hippies back in the 70s. They actually show the building of it on that TV show, Murder Mountain. It's so funny because they're like,
Murder Mountain. I want to talk about that in a little bit.
And then the hippies came and built an anarchist compound, and they show them like building like kids' elementary school. I'm like, I'm the gardener there.
Let me ask this real quick. I don't want to get into that show. Yeah, I want to talk about that later, but. Were you featured in that at all? Were you?
They interviewed me, and I refused to say. They're like, "What makes Humboldt County so evil?" And I'm like, Humboldt County's not evil. I mean, it's I was like, I don't have a lock. I literally don't even have a lock on my door. You know what I mean? And they didn't want to hear all that. They wanted to hear how bad it was. And
so
I wasn't
where are
really.
You from originally? If you're I grew not from up, California.
From where you guys did in Baltimore.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So yeah. You're from the then I went to there. Art school in New York City and then dropped out to go on Grateful Dead tour.
And when did you go to Amsterdam?
Oh, I went there the first time in like 91, 92. And then in 93, we actually, me and this girl I was with got an apartment there for a while.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty nice. Cool. Yeah.
So let's kind of, this is going to tie into my next kind of segue, so to speak. But fast forward to today and where you were, you know, back when you got into this whole scheme, the whole scene, when you were in Amsterdam. I assume that I've only passed through Amsterdam on flights. I've never like stayed there or been there, but I assume from what we see on TV, you know, you can go into any shop store, buy pop brownies, what magic mushrooms, anything pretty much. Right. That's the way it used to be. Is that how Amsterdam
well,
was?
Well, you like, couldn't get mushrooms in the stores when I was really? There, but yeah, they were coffee shops.
Yeah. So
you go into the coffee shop and you could buy whatever you want.
Coffee? Do they have coffee?
Oh yeah, it was a literal coffee shop, usually with fresh squeezed orange juice as well. Some of the nicer ones actually had food, which was really fun.
Dude, that just made me come up with a new entrepreneurship.
But they had all kinds of indoor weed. You know, I mean, back then they didn't have the strains they do today, but
right.
I mean, they had a lot of really nice weed. You know,
I could open up a coffee shop called Baked Beans. That'd be cool as shit. So what I was getting at, so with you saw in Amsterdam and everything, how has the landscape of California legalization changed since, you know, when you got there? So how is it?
Well, first we had the medical, the 215, and that was awesome because it was such a great,
what year did that take place?
It was 97.
Okay. Damn. So does that mean, so what, was 2016 for California? Is that when it became recreational? Is that what that was?
2016, yeah.
Okay. I knew 2016 was a big year for California with marijuana, and I couldn't remember. I really thought medical was before then because I remember a buddy of mine having a medical card in like 2011 or 12, mm-hmm. so I knew it was there. But so 2016 is when it became recreational. So we'll get to that. But so since then, so keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, take off.
Well,
the
medical
rails here,
stuff, it was awesome. It was fantastic because it was a complete gray area, and but it took a while to implement. Like the cops would if the cops found you with weed, they and you said I showed them your medical card, they would say tell it to the judge, and still arrest you.
Damn.
And then so many people were going before the judge, and the judge was letting them go. My friend got pulled over with 5 pounds on him. And you know they were really harsh. They took his weed. They were threatening to lock him up. And he actually had like a letter from his lawyer. He had all these patients that he was growing for, and he had like all the list of people where the pot was going, what clubs it was going to. And he had to fight like hell in court. And it took him years. And they finally gave him his weed back. But it turned yellow, you know what I mean? But
it probably wasn't that good after.
I mean, it was a big deal. Like High Times and stuff wrote an article about it and stuff, you know, because it was one of the first times that they're just giving not a huge amount, but a rather large amount, 5 pounds of weed back to a person.
So when medical came into effect in California, was there limits on how much you could possess and
there's
or anything?
Dude, the law was so vague. Here's what it said.
Because you all were like,
you can have cannabis with a doctor's recommendation. Now, is that recommendation oral? You know what I mean? Like, say you're playing golf with a doctor and a doctor's like, no, I recommend you try weed. That's a doctor's recommendation. It doesn't say prescription, written, this, that.
So how did you get a card back then? Was there any like
it's steps? Hilarious, dude. Yeah. The only doctors who did it were either cannabis advocates, which was cool, or just shady motherfuckers. And like you would, so like, I would get a call from my doctor who was actually like in Clear Lake, like far, you know, far away, a couple, like 100 miles away or more. And he'd be like, I'm coming to Humboldt. Meet me in the parking lot of Shop Smart in Redway. So I would pull in there at the right time and I'd be waiting. And then an RV would pull in. And then like 100 people would get out of their cars and cruise up to this RV. And then you'd go up into the RV and he would give you like a blood pressure thing and then just be like, what's wrong? And he'd be like, whatever, just tell him whatever you want. And he'd write you a script and now next one, this is a line. And I've met doctors in shady hotel rooms, all kinds of places.
That's crazy because you can see how like California, and I'm just going off of Maryland here because it's all I know, really, has set a precedence in how states have used it, how everything's changed to today. Because in Maryland, getting a medical card was, you got online and found a doctor, and just literally you could get it the same day. Like, it was just like you
within
didn't
an
even
hour.
Meet them. Like, you just met online, like through this, like Zoom or whatever. And it was like, what's your issues? Okay. Yep. And then there, you know, but there's a
shit. I didn't even go through Zoom. Mine was just a phone call because my camera wouldn't work.
Nice.
So
nice.
You didn't even have to meet up. So you're just saying it's still the same. You know, I mean, who knows?
California should have been ahead of the game, and they should have. If California had been the first to legalize recreationally, I think a lot of the laws would be different. But because it was Colorado and Washington, California ended up following their leads and their examples instead of setting our own. And a lot of people disagree with the way the laws are. It's sad that we let that slip away from us, you know, and let Colorado go first.
So have you, you know, like you say, there's been a talk about, you know, the legalization, you know, in California and Humboldt County. Have you seen a positive economic shift with the legalization?
No, the exact opposite.
Really?
Terrible, yeah. So with the medical, it was like just a free, there was no restrictions, there was no nothing that you could just, you know, it was a free for all. It was wild. And then as soon as they legalized it for recreation, they cracked down on all the medical growers like hardcore. Mm-hmm. They used satellites and drones to find you. And like we got abated, busted for growing before we went legal. We still had all our medical, but then they lowered the medical down to a tiny amount. Because before it had been like you could grow 1,000 plants or something medical, and it was like there was no limit. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're making the medical limit teeny, 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 tiny, like 10 by 10, like 10 foot by 10 foot. Like, what the fuck? And
wait, you mean they went by square feet instead of by plants?
Yeah, they go by square feet. Same with the normal legalization too. It's all square.
How does
feet.
That even? How, I don't even know how that would work. Right? That's crazy.
Well, it's the size of your grow room or your greenhouse, and then you as a grower, you know, I mean, it's a if you know how to efficiently use space. Oh, you know what I mean? You can get more or less.
I'm
it all depends.
Thinking,
on
like if they tell you only got 10 by like. Scrog it out. I mean, you're going to, you can really spread out. But like here in Maryland, it's what, 4 plants if you're medical, 2 plants if you're not medical. Like, and then they don't even, and like you're saying, the laws are so, like, what do they consider a plant? Is that one in flower? Is it, because I mean,
yeah,
it's not a plant. It's a good question. Before then, right? I mean, according mm-hmm. to the 2018 Farm Bill, a cannabis plant is hemp until it sparks, until you light it. That's the only time THCA, the 3%, goes over that 0.3%. It can't go over that. So everything is hemp, according to that farm bill. So that's the issue we have in Maryland. 2 plants, recreational, 4 plants, but what considers a plant? You know, right. Can you have 50 seedlings, you know, in vegetative, not flip, you know, I mean, you know about growing. You don't have to flip a light schedule for growing indoors or whatever, because Maryland even has it to where, here's how vague the law is. If a plant can be seen from your private property, it has to be out of sight or else it's illegal. Like, how does that even work? You know what I mean? Like, right. It's so.
They differentiate between flowering and vegetative.
See, they don't do that here at all. It's not, it's just a plant. That's all they can say. Yeah. A cannabis plant. They don't. Yep. And it's, they
but
were
you
so.
You get busted from a satellite image.
They've done that. So here's the thing. They've done that here, but with drones. They busted people in their own house by flying over and saying, oh.
And they don't even come to the property. You get a letter in the mail.
Yep.
It's fucking bullshit. Yeah, how can they do that?
And what's the point? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I get it.
The point was to drive the price up, which it did for a hot second.
You all have really low pricing though now, right?
The pricing, it's fucked. It's fucked, man. It's about $300 for a pound of really nice weed. Yeah, yeah. And so, like, there's really
an ounce
difficult
here for medical. Like,
yeah,
literally
there's an ounce here.
An ounce of legit.
Well, that's not at the store.
Bucks.
This is for, like, the farmers and on the street.
Okay. I can go to a plug. We'll just say, I'll go
but
to
you,
a plug.
I think they're selling ounces for, like, $25 at some of the stores here.
Now, fuck that. Even our plugs are selling ounces for $150, $200, right? I mean, if you're lucky, you might get it less than $200. That's for an ounce. I mean, come on. That is insane. Like, that, but that's.
Well, yeah. Now the whole, like, Southern Humboldt, where, Garberville, Redway, the towns are completely deserted. The stores are boarded up. The movie theater is just moldering and rotting away. All the old timers have either moved away, moved to Oregon, or a lot of the really legendary people have unfortunately passed on. And it's just a completely different scene. Like when I would first pull up there, there would be like Dreddies everywhere, VW buses. And now it's just like kind of meth heads. And yeah, it's really.
So when you say the pricing is kind of fucked, can you give us a little background on, and maybe for our levelers out there listening, like what made that happen? Like, cause eventually we're going to you can look at California, you can look at Utah, you can look at all these states that have legalized recreational, and eventually you say fucked, and I don't know if you mean fucked as in, this is where I'm trying to understand and help everybody else. Like they're really low. It's really cheap. Like you're really not making a lot of money off of it out there, but right. Here
it's like impossible.
It's
to make any
outrageous.
Money.
So, but people say we'll eventually get to that point to where we can get pounds for $300. But so yeah. What made that? So I just want to get like from your perspective, what changed in the economy to make it like that? Is it just the oversaturation of people? Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're living in a place where everybody grows weed. You know what I mean? Everybody's been doing it forever. And most of the stuff was imported out. And now all the states, like you guys are legal now, and all these places are legal now, and we can't really, there's just no market for it anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know a lot of like, oh, not a lot, but some of California, like companies have reached Maryland, but it's a cookies. Lot different priced.
And there are still technical issues with it crossing state lines that they're working on figuring that out. But at this point, I don't think that's legal at all. It's not.
You know, I did see Brian, and this is free. Matthew's probably going to look at us like, y'all are fucking serious right now. You're worried about that. But we're getting Khalifa Kush for the first time ever right now. Like it is now coming just like sweet buds here in Frederick. And so, I mean, that's been huge because we've heard about it for so long. You know, we hear about all this California stuff, right? It's media, but it's people too. I look at a lot of Reddit, right? Because that's where I can see real people talking about stuff. And they talk about how good some stuff is in California, but how it is an oversaturated market and, you know, whatever. But I just get excited when we get some new things like Khalifa Kush, you know, some of these, what I want to say, classically known in Cal, you know, that people have had out there and been smoking for a while. We don't get that.
I can't even keep up, man. I have like, I can't even keep up.
But even then,
all.
See, the problem is your all's laws and THC percentages, whatever, for medical and this is completely different than Maryland's. Like they are capped at certain things. So the same
they
stuff
cap
the
amount of THC weed can have.
Yes.
For medical and recreation, there's caps.
Even Virginia right now is like
that's
the worst.
Crazy
like,
to me.
Virginia is horrible.
West Virginia is like 10%. It can't be over 10% THC, or they're not allowed to sell it. Like it's so fucking wild.
What? Why?
Yes,
that doesn't make any sense to me. That's what you want. You know what I mean? I mean, like, why would you want people to have to smoke more or eat more? You would want the maximum amount. It doesn't make any sense.
Buy more, spend more money.
Buy more because you have to get more anywhere. You can buy, you know, but even then, it doesn't matter, dude.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sure California is the same. And I can go to a dispensary, right? Which, when medical came in, it was great. Don't get me wrong. Medical was great for people. Brian, we've all, everybody has their stories with medical and how it's changed our lives. But the percentages are so fucking inflated on these things that you can get online and it says 30% THC and has 4% terps, right? Motherfucker, you get that smoke, it tastes like ass and hay and has no flavor. I mean, there ain't no way they're just inflating these numbers. They're picking and choosing. So I don't
it's
even
not coming
worry
from
about
a laboratory?
That shit anymore. It is.
It says it
taking,
is, but
they're finding the choicest thing and then giving it to the laboratory,
they find the best one out of you know. So you have a farm
because each plant's going to be different.
Exactly,
each plant's different. Yeah,
they test every single plant and take the highest one, right?
Unless it's a clone, which is obviously genetically the same. But if it's
and that's a lot
even
of
then
what they're doing.
They're
cloning and just using generic results. And it's just not the same. So that's what I'm saying. You can't even go by that anymore. So the pricing here is, you know, I already said it's outrageous for pricing, but
it's crazy.
It's just wild. But now people are growing their own. So I own a company too that sells grow supplies and stuff. And it's because a lot of people are growing more.
Remember when that was illegal?
It's busy. Yeah, right. Yeah, it used to be. They used to fly over houses and look for heat, you know, thermal imaging to look
or just
for
go
the
to
heat,
like
lights.
Someone would set up a store and be selling lights, and they would come and bust the owner of the store.
Right. Yeah. See, and like we could sell seeds here, But again, seeds are hemp. So what, you know, that, but they won't tell us what a plant is. You know, what you know, it's right. Just so weird. But even the laws just nationwide, you know, I'll just say nationwide. It's been hard for me. I don't sell with my company is it's seed to harvest, right? So I'm just selling grow supplies, lights, tents, you know, indoor, mostly soils, nutrients. I sell seeds too, which is nothing, right? So seeds are just seeds. They're perfectly legal. Even the government says they're legal, right? You can buy them, ship them, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't process credit cards from my bank, from no bank, because they consider it cannabis. The banks still consider it all cannabis. I'm going off track here a little bit, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about in general, just how...
Well, you're smart, you know,
and the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, we're all, everything's fucked by the government with these putting limits, putting the, you know, the THC limits on what you can get, the growing limits on what you can do. Either fucking legalize it to me or not legalize. Like, don't worry about how much they have, whether just fucking do it or not do it. Like,
it's because they want to control us. It's that
simple.
They got to have that little tiny bit of control on everything that goes on.
So let me ask you this, man. We're going to get into some, because I'm learning from you a little bit of how Maryland might shape out to be, but. What have they done out there as far as in California, like you have drunk driving, you know, DUIs and stuff, but with do they have any testing for like cannabis and driving?
Apparently they do, but I'm not familiar with how it works. I know the other day I ate a handful of gummies, got completely paranoid, and I'm driving down the road and my friend was smoking a vape pen. And I was like, dude, come on, man. I'm really stoned. Don't smoke in the car or I can get in trouble. And he started just laughing at me and telling me I was a fucking idiot and refused to stop. And so, and I'm like, what if you pulled over? Do you? And he's like, dude, shut up. So I don't really know. I know that they can test you. I think there's a breathalyzer they can actually give you, isn't there? Some sort of thing. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Maryland has been talking about trying, they are right now still trying to come up with some type of testing program. And they mentioned that they are working on a machine that could be like a breathalyzer. But the problem with that is, as everybody knows, and here's where they're getting kind of limited and cut off is if you drink alcohol, right? Once it's out of your system, it's not going to register on the breathalyzer. Cannabis, THC, that can stay in your system for days, weeks. You know what I mean? So they can't refrigerate.
Right.
Did you take those edibles last night?
And what if you have a medical card? Then it's completely different. It's not recreational. It's fucking medical.
Right.
I drive better stoned.
A lot of people say that. That's what I'm saying. But so that's why they haven't really, they don't have any legal sense as far as testing yet, because THC can stay in your system for days, especially if you're a daily user, right? It's going to take months to get out of your system.
I think as of right now, though, it's still considered a DUI.
Lawyers are going to make money. They're going to do it.
So, yeah, but it's interesting to say the least. I'm interested to hear your take, what you meant by, in your bio you sent us, you mentioned death of the outlaw hippie culture.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Some of my neighbors were the people who went to Afghanistan and India and brought back the first the first indica strains, and were the first people to experiment with crossing indicas with sativas, getting sativas from Mexico and Thailand and crossing them with Kush strains from Afghanistan. And that's right there my farm is, that, you know, and it was a completely outlaw culture. And it was a beautiful culture. We had reggae on the river. If you ever heard of that, it was really huge cultural phenomenon.
Heard of reggae on the river.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly where it was, but I have heard of it.
So Southern Humboldt. Yeah. And, like I said, they would have Jerry Garcia play out there, and there's this place called the Mateel Center, community center, and there's just this thriving community, and it also gave artists, musicians, writers a means of survival while they practiced their art. You meet so many amazing painters and musicians, especially just amazing musicians who were able to like dedicate themselves to their craft while they grew weed and lived in this outlaw culture. And that's sadly gone. The legalization, all these freaks have no way of living. Yeah.
So see, that's the only downfall I can see to legalization. I mean, I don't know. It's such a great
it's a good thing in the end, but
it is. And it's, you know what I mean? It's just
a speed bump.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved being able to be like, yeah, I don't follow the law. Yeah, I'm an outlaw. Yeah, but what I do is amazing, and I help people, and I'm bringing this beautiful product out. You know what I mean? It was cool because it's not like you're a fentanyl dealer or something. You know what I mean? Like, right. You were actually helping society, and like, you could be like, I'm a fucking freedom fighter.
And with something that I say with everything, it's something that's all natural. It's not nothing. Yeah. Not synthetic. You're not mixing chemical. You're not doing anything. It's something. It's a fucking seed you throw in the ground and water it, and you get these benefits out of it. Whether people think it's the classic stoner or whatever, but most, I will say, almost everybody I know does it for some type of medical reason.
Oh yeah,
not just I'm just going to get high. Now there are people like that. I mean, we talk about this all the time. There's those people, but almost everybody I know does it for some type of medical benefit, whether it's anxiety, even days pain, inflammation.
I'm hoping
even days myself, I just like to get stoned.
Like, that, right, and that's like a weekend days, for me. You know what I mean? I'm not a big drinker. I hardly ever drink alcohol anymore. But to me, that's my weekend. You know what I mean? My Friday and Saturday, because I'm a Monday through Friday worker. You know, but so my Friday and Saturday is. Fuck, I'm taking my edibles. I'm taking, like, last night, dude, I took a fucking, it was 100 milligram FICO capsule, where that shit fucked me up. Like, I was
100 milligrams?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and it fucked me. And I don't know, you can't really half it. You know what I mean? It's in a capsule, so what the fuck do you do?
Yeah.
And I actually got to the point last night, I don't know if y'all have ever had this or not, or even know, but I got cannabis shakes. Have you ever had that?
Yep.
Like, you have too much THC in your body, like, just uncontrolled. You can't control it. It just fucking, you just start saying that hit me last night.
When that happens to me, I have to lay down and like rub my feet together like a fucking cricket.
Dude, that's what I do.
It's the only thing that like calms me down. Like,
yeah, but I was already laying back. So like last night, right, we were watching Three Body Problem. I had taken that FICO capsule at like 7 o'clock, right, thinking, you know, given it has to digest, you know, I've learned most about this just by, you know, trying, but, you know, it'd probably go take 1.5 to 2 hours to start kicking in for me. So I'm like, perfect timing because, Brian, you know, I usually sit down with the wife around 10 o'clock at night, our time, and that's when we chill out for the evening, right? So I'm like, it'll hit just the right time, you know, for me to watch Three Body Problem, already fucked up show. And it did, and I felt great, but I got the, like, you know, halfway through the episode, and I started getting it, and that's the only thing it did. I was already laying back in the recliner, you know, our couch reclined, so, but just moving my legs around. And but the problem is I have a fucking French bulldog that lays in between my legs 90% of the time. So he's there. So I had to figure out another way. And my wife, you know, last night, she's probably sitting there looking at me thinking like, is he on crack or something? Cause I'm fucking, you know, moving around so much. But yeah, I get that. Like that hit me last night with those capsules. So speaking
of 100 milligrams is a nice dose.
Yeah.
See, I didn't think it would do, like I took one before and it didn't do much, but it could, I mean, again, it's based on what you eat every day and things like maybe it's a digestive just hit me differently, but
see, I don't know, dude. I handle like 10, 20 milligrams at a time is enough for me.
See, well, for me, and don't ask me why, but it takes at least 40 milligrams of edibles for me to feel anything.
That's insane, bro.
I think it's just my body.
I think you need to try mine, bro.
Maybe. So again, I only buy them from the dispensary because that's the only place, you know, I've tried making them. So I only go off of what their numbers say. So they might not even.
Are they distillate or are they like.
No, I'm talking about it's like full.
Yeah, but are they. You know, if the TA. Yeah, that's that can make a difference how it was broke down.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there's only like one or two companies here in Maryland that use distillate for their edibles right now. Is it?
So I
think so, yeah.
This was
rosin.
Yeah, the rest of
the
rosin.
The ones that I got are those the high color or whatever. You know what I mean? The one, Brian, the high color brand or whatever it is. That's what 40 milligram.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been like that with all of them, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, but it's also very
inconsistent. Every person's cannabinoid system is completely different. I took a class. They were dealing with epileptic children. And when I say epileptic, I'm not like talking having a seizure every once in a while. These kids were like in wheelchairs having seizures like every hour and shit. It was hardcore. You know, these are people that moved to California because children needed to get cannabis and they couldn't get it where they were. And it was amazing how the slightest differentiation between THC and CBD would affect each patient completely differently. And the whole class was on like testing oils and trying to like get all these different levels and then testing them on each person and finding out which combination of level worked for that person's cannabinoid system.
Wow. See, so, I mean, that's just crazy shit because I understand it because me, you know, my wife can take a quarter of an edible that I take, and she's fucking done for. You know what I mean?
Zooted.
Where I can take one, and I'm like, I don't fucking feel anything. I got to take another one, and then it'll hit me. You know, but it's crazy how
40 does me pretty good. If I do 100, I'm pretty fucking. I get like cotton mouth, and I can't talk and stuff.
Yep. Fucking.
You're sweating some. There's one place that I can get edible that I do get edibles from. This not the dispensary. It's a farmer or a farm company. Right, Brian knows what I'm talking about. They're 150 milligrams each. They're the like peach rings and apple rings. You know what I'm talking about? Like you would have the gummies. Mm-hmm. Those. Mm-hmm. And each one is 150 milligram. I can eat a whole one of those, and it's like I'm fine. But 100 milligram Fico capsule last night fucked me up and had me, you know. So, but I do know I can almost tell that the that they're using the, and I'm saying SHF here, their gummies. I think he's putting tincture on real gummy, like he's buying the gummies. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And the oil,
and putting the tincture on it so it absorbs it. And I think that's how, just because I make tinctures, so I know the flavor of a tincture that when you're using that
little taste of it.
And that's exactly what these have. You know what I mean? So, and they're inconsistent. Then that tells me that it's being dripped, and you don't know which part you eat. You know what I mean?
That's kind of weird.
I got to bring you some out of mine, and I want to see how they feel for you.
I'm all for it.
Anyway, I have a lot of people that tell me, like,
you say that I'm all for trying, you know, whatever. It's the same thing with, I mean, we're talking about cannabis, right? But it's the same thing with psilocybin mushrooms, man. Mm-hmm. The littlest bit can do one thing to one person, and the next person, that's way too much for, you know, it's all the same. So everybody's body's your DNA, your genes, your hormones, everything. I guess, you know, everything has to do with it. So,
well, no, just that you have a cannabinoid system at all is amazing, because a lot of animals don't have it. Like ducks, birds, it does have no effect on them whatsoever. We had these geese, and we used to make water hash, and we would be dumping the empty trash cans out, and would like make huge monstrous puddles of weed water, you know, and they would swim in it and bathe in it, and they loved it, and it has no effect on them. Obviously, dogs have a cannabinoid system. Yeah, they all get fucked up, but a lot of animals, you know, and scientists still don't even understand why we have it. Why is our bodies wired that cannabis gets us high? Like what function is it? It's a mystery still.
My dog, speaking of dogs, I have three dogs. I have a German Shepherd, a Golden Retriever, and a French Bulldog. So, you know, large, semi-medium, large, whatever, and then a little tiny dog. And Negan and Baxter, which is my German Shepherd. He's solid black, and I named him Negan off of Walking Dead. If you watch Walking Dead, he takes everything. It's all his shit. It don't matter. That's his shit. Don't touch his shit. And Baxter's just off. He's like, but Winston, the little Frenchie, man, he is a joint thief. If you leave a joint sitting out and you move away, that motherfucker grabs it and is gone. Like, he will eat it in an instant. The other two don't give two shits about cannabis. Winston, like, I feel like he's addicted to it. And that's probably because he sits on my lap most nights. And when I'm smoking, it kind of probably hits him. But he sees a joint. You better keep an eye on it. He'll watch it, and he'll just take off running with it and eat it. He loves that shit.
Be so mad.
You mentioned earlier about that Netflix series, Murder Mountain. Mm. That show, it paints a pretty dark picture of Humboldt County.
Yes.
It also highlights some of the challenges the area faces. So you being right there in smack dab, do you think, does that show, I want you to talk about the show, but also tell me, does it accurately represent the overall experience of living and working there? Like
for some people, unfortunately.
And then a follow-up question to that too, after all this, because this is going to lead to the next, is did that particular series, because that came out a few, like what, 2017 or so, 18 maybe? That series, did that have any influence on your podcast?
2018,
because you got
For one thing, you got to remember, Humboldt County is monstrous. It's like the size of Connecticut.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize it's like larger than a lot of states on the East Coast. So it's vast. It's like, you know, you can go to this college town, Arcata, and it's just like a, you know, hippie college town. You know, but then you go down to Southern Humboldt, and you're very rural. You know, it's the redwoods. It's extremely isolated, these hills and stuff. But on the west side of the highway, it's more or less more hippie-ish. There's like a lot of hippies out there, like old communes and like Like the sound man from the Grateful Dead started the radio station there, and he also started a senior center there, and he like also crowns the rodeo queen. So it's like just a very, you know, the Grateful Dead, like this whole culture is like a big part of it down there in a way. But then the east side of the highway, when you get up onto the east side, it's like all cattle ranchers. And it's just very, very redneck. And that's where that takes place. It, in a, outside of a town called Alder Point, where I actually lived in Alder Point. But that takes place on just right next to Alder Point there. And it is a kind of scary-ish out there. It's just not as kind and loving as some other parts. And it's just very, a lot of meth, a lot of methamphetamine, a lot just locals that are rednecky and very tight-knit and a closed kind of community.
That makes
so
me think
it's more or less an accurate representation of a very small part of Humboldt County. But even that representation is exploited, and it's you know what I mean? It's, there's murders everywhere. You go to any big city, you know what I mean? There's yeah, fucked up shit wherever you go. You're not going to go anywhere where there's not fucked up shit. So I would say that even in the most fucked up part of Humboldt, they still painted it darker than they needed to, than it really is. But man, it's entertainment, man. People, that's what people want. That's what they gave them. And I'm not going to like diss them. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to sell a product. That's what you do. Yeah, that's what people want.
And for sure, so for sure, the after question was, did that have any influence on your podcast, or was your podcast started before this?
My podcast came out after this. Okay. We're pretty new to the whole podcasting world, but I did have a novel out that was almost kind of loosely based on those events in a weird way and takes place near there. And it didn't really have any effect on it. It was interesting because I wrote my book before that Netflix series came out, and like a lot of people hadn't heard of the darker side of things. My novel Kind Nepenthe is more about people losing their ideals when they get into the money scene of things. It's like these dreadlocked hippie vegetarians that are like, they love fish and go to see fish shows, and they get this opportunity to work on this pot farm, and they think it's going to be a hippie paradise and they're going to be all organic and stuff. And they get up there and it's this rundown indoor running on a diesel generator, and there's diesel spilling everywhere, and they got spider mites, so they got to cover everything in like the most awful pesticides, and it's just like poison. And then they're just like, they just turn where all they want is the money, and it's just about the money. And then there's like ghosts, which are like metaphors for the past, coming back to haunt them. And it turns into like a full on horror bloodbath at the end, you know?
That's awesome. I'm curious. So switching gears here, you know, as we're already at 40 some minutes in, but I'm curious to hear more about your creative endeavors, like your writing and your podcast. What got you started down that path with like writing and everything?
I'm a reader. I've always like just read ever since I was just a little kid. I love books. I love literature. So naturally I fell into writing, and just like a write. It's like a calling. Like I have to write. And now, like I was telling you earlier before we started, our podcast is mostly scripted. So like I'm writing like 8,000 to 10,000 words a week just for the podcast. It's like a calling. I just love to write. And I'm a creative. I love to be creative. And
yeah, it's like, cause you said you went to school in New York for arts, right? So that's what you've been your whole, so since you were young, have just been a creative type of personality and person that, you know.
Totally, totally. And I'm a true crime podcast fanatic. Like I just love listening to true crime nonstop. It's like my thing.
We're not going to hit the lightning level yet, but what's been your favorite, or what's been your most, I don't even know the right word I want to use here. I'm fucking high, but standout-ish true crime event that's happened. Like what's your most intriguing one that you can think of?
Like personally,
for like, stand out? Yeah, like for you,
around
like
me?
For you.
All right, so
yeah,
like, for
you. Like what one stands out? You know, people love true crime, and there's always usually people really have one that stands out that they really like think of, you know, that really got them into
I'm obsessed
crime,
with the
Charles,
so. With the Manson family. Okay, as like a person who was like a hippie and like lived in on like communes and like been a big part of like the hippie culture, I think it's just a great summation of everything that's wrong with it, how people will use like the word family, the word love to manipulate you, to get you to do things you don't want to do. And also like where you see these people come into this with these morals and ethics and then they quickly fade. Like I was saying about my novel, I think that that's a great, but for me personally, there was this guy I knew that I used to do business with, murdered somebody like just a mile away from my house and buried him under their water tank. That was pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. He was all methed out, though. Dude, they were so methed out. He became convinced that these people were robbing him. I don't even think he was getting robbed. And saw this van broke down on the side of the road and took the guy at gunpoint and then, like, took him back to his cabin. He slit his throat, but it didn't kill him. It just put a big hole. He didn't hit the corroded arteries.
It's a corroded artery,
right.
Yeah. And so they just wrapped it up in a dirty t-shirt and duct tape, and then he took him to a party where everyone was smoking meth and eating tacos, and they chased some UFOs around with assault rifles, and then he brought the guy back to his dad's homestead, put him in a bathtub in an outbuilding and shot him through the head with an eye with a AK. And then I was like, this dude I know, and then
this sounds like accomplice with a Netflix movie.
I know, right? And these are like people. These are like people I know. You know what I mean? That I did business with. You're like, holy fuck, dude! Are you fucking kidding me? And during the trial, because it all came out, like they buried him. He's like parading this guy around, bringing him to parties. Like the whole community saw.
It's like a Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. Right. Right. And the one guy was so fucking high on meth, still in psychosis. Like he, after being in jail for weeks or months, when he got up on the trial, on the stand to testify, he was saying crazy stuff. Like the cops had seen him do it. That inside this homestead was a torture chamber with all these beds covered in bone and blood. And there was a battery cooked up to cables with a human finger in it. And he had a contraption that would chop up bodies and feed them into a wood stove, which was all product of his imagination. He was just fucking out of it on meth, you know?
That's wild.
So it's not, it wasn't a Weekend at Bernie's. It was a Weekend in Humboldt.
Southern Humboldt. Yeah,
look, we already have a name for the Netflix here. Netflix, pick us up. Look, he can give you. We got a writer. He can write it for you right here. So,
dude, I got asked to write a TV show for Netflix and wrote the fucking. What? But well, it wasn't for. It was Netflix was one of the maybe buyers. It was like for an agent, and I wrote the most badass fucking story, dude, with all these other really good writers, and they turned it down because they said it was too much like that TV show Ozark. It's nothing
Ozark
like the TV
amazing.
Show Ozark. That show's
Bro,
stupid.
Ozark
They're
is
growing
amazing.
Opium. Give me a fucking break. Well, I mean, I liked it. Don't get me wrong, but
Ozark was
growing
really
opium. You know how many people you would need to harvest that much opium? You know, you would need a fucking army.
Are
they
you
in Afghanistan? They've got like huge villages that have nothing to do all day but sit out there and harvest the shit. You know, it's very.
Do you like do you like comics or anything like that too? Like that kind of stuff.
I'm not like
I'm
a comic.
So Ozark. Julia Garner from Ozark. Did you see she just got cast as the female Silver Surfer in the new movie coming out? Julia Garner's a major dude in Ozark even. I mean, she is an amazing actress. Yeah. So, yeah, she got cast as the new Silver Surfer. So, I'm interested. That's the reason I asked because, you know, it's kind of, you know, Ozark. Have you watched Ozark, Brian?
Yeah, well, some here and there. I haven't sat down and watched it all the way through.
I like it. Ozark.
I watched some episodes.
My story was nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
Money laundering? It wasn't about money laundering?
No, it wasn't about money laundering. It was about a family who had been like I was going to say to you, you're smart. What you're doing is selling supplies. And in the gold rush, the people who got rich were like Levi Strauss selling pants, hardware stores selling axes. It wasn't the gold miners themselves who became rich. It was the people giving them products that they needed who developed empires. So it's like you see this a lot in Southern Humboldt is like these little hardware stores or little grow shops or little, you know, gardening centers. So it was like a family who had built one of those, because some of them are way out in the middle of the woods. Like, there's nothing. You're just driving through the woods, and all of a sudden you come on this huge compound, and there's like a lumber mill, a fucking huge, huge hardware store, coffee shop, you know, and it's like this epic thing. And now a lot of them have, you know, cannabis stores. So in ours, it was like a family who had started this garden store. They were growers, of course, and they started a garden store in the middle of the woods, and it became this huge thing. And then when pot went legal, they went legal, and they have some legal farms. They've got a distillation plant there now at the thing where they can make oils and shatter and stuff. And it was like their dealings with people still trying to be in the underground market, but still trying to go legal. And like, you know what I mean? All the drama that you would see in real life in Humboldt County. And it wasn't like people growing opium and trying to launder money. It was like, which is fine, but it's still fantastical in a lot of ways. It was very gritty, real life situations, you know, and like murders, like the one I just described that happened, you know.
You said you wrote this. You wrote a script for that to be pitched.
Yes, with another amazing writer. But
did you ever think about turning it into a book?
Yeah. I got so many books I'm goddamn working on now. Get in line. Get in the list.
Brian, you got any other book questions or anything for him?
I mean, I guess a common question: how does getting elevated help with writing, the writing process?
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. You know,
does it play a key part at all? Does it
for
help?
Me? It does.
Does it really does?
I mean, cannabis is a part of my daily life. It's just who I am. But I eat a couple gummies and just look up, and like 6 hours have gone by.
So let me ask this. I got a question about writing, because I'm completely ignorant to write, because I'm not a writer, you know what I mean? Except for podcast stuff, but which I guess is writing a little bit. But when you said like the Netflix, like when you said you were approached along with some other writers to do it, how does that even work? Because I've always wondered, like when you see movies and script, you know, TV shows and stuff, it's multiple writers, or, you know, they say in a write, like, does it just start with like one person saying, I'll do this part and you do this part? Or is it like you all are just writing a whole script and then you're throwing it at somebody else and they're saying, well, let me do this with it, and throwing it back, and you all are just about, how does that work with when you have multiple writers on one thing?
Well, for this project, what happened was I got an email, and these people were like, we read your book. We really loved it. We know that you're we've studied you. We checked out all your things, and we know that you're a grower in Humboldt. You know all these people, and we're interested in writing a TV show. And it was a producer and then another writer. And then they basically threw it all on me. And I would just like send off stuff. I'm not sure how it works with other projects. And then we would have like conferences and talk about it, and they would read what I had and you know, change this, change that, blah, blah, blah. But it was really mostly me doing most of the hard work in this situation. I'm not sure how it, you know, works in other situations, but yeah.
Yeah, I just know, like, I think almost everything.
Well, the one
nowadays
guy I was working with had written for Deadwood and Sons of Anarchy. So, oh,
wow. Dude, Sons of Anarchy. Cool. That reminds me. Are you all Sons of Anarchy fans?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Mayan series? Anybody watch the Mayans? The Mayan series? So the Mayan series was, you know, the spinoff of that. But, yeah. And it was still part of California, but they had what they called Meth Mountain. When you were describing the redneck part of Humboldt, that's what I was picturing, was Meth Mountain, because that's where they, you know, trailers and just like just people just on meth and selling meth, like that's all they're doing in that area. And that's what I was picturing, was the Sons of Anarchy Mayans Meth Mountain in Southern California.
I just want to say real quick, I'm not using the term redneck to be as an insult or anything. People self-identify. So you see people who have actually like tattoo their necks red and shit. You know what I mean? They call them, you see stickers, redneck proud of it. You see a lot of stickers that say, I'm a redneck hippie. That's like a big thing. So like it's these people self-identify as redneck. I'm not being derogatory. And I have a big old pickup truck with a lumber rack and, you know, all that shit. So you got to, if you live in the middle of the woods, you have to, you know,
it becomes natural.
Part of life out there.
Yeah. You wear logging boots and you know, double knee work pants, all that shit.
Awesome. Now, before we wrap things up, because we're going on almost an hour here, so I don't want to take up too much time. I know everybody's got shit to do, but it's time for the lightning level. I'll tell you how this works here in a second, but the lightning level, today's lightning level is going to be brought to you by High Level Hydro, supplying you with everything you need from seed to harvest.
Are you ready to level up your harvest? Look no further than High Level Hydro, Maryland's number one seed and supply store. At High Level Hydro, we take you from seed to harvest with expert advice and top-notch products from AC Infinity, Mars Hydro, The Bucket Company, and more. Visit our website at highlevelhydro.com for a vast selection of premium seeds, cutting-edge grow supplies, and everything you need for a bountiful harvest. High Level Hydro, where success grows from seed to harvest. Your journey to superior yields starts now. Visit highlevelhydro.com or at highlevelhydro on your favorite social media.
So here's how it works. We're going to throw just a few questions at you. You know, random question, nothing hard, nothing that you really should have to think of, like really put your mind to, but just want quick answers, whatever first thing that comes to the top of your head. All right, man, ready? We'll see what happens. All right.
Yeah.
Matthew, what is your favorite strain of all time? If you could have one strain to smoke the rest of you, what would it be?
OG Kush.
Solid choice. Who is your favorite superhero of all time?
Batman.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm not a big superhero guy, really. Oh, nice, nice.
Batman chair.
I'm Batman.
What else you got? You got another one, Brian?
Yeah. What favorite movie of all time?
Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Changes every 5 minutes, but.
All right, man. And I'm gonna hit you with the last one. The last question that I always ask everybody: what are your go-to munchies when you're high?
Oh, I don't know. Goat cheese and crackers.
Goat cheese and crackers. Brian is a garden salsa. Sun yep. chips, right? Mm-hmm. And salsa's I will good. Say, I just picked some of those up at the store today because I saw them, and I'm like, Brian talks about that. I'm gonna try them. I'm gonna get some. So I got some today.
Delicious, bro.
So Matthew, though, solid choices. Now, as we wind down, any final thoughts or any advice for our levelers out there?
Stay safe. Have fun. If you like true crime, check out my podcast. You like horror, read my books.
Solid advice. We appreciate you taking the time to share your experiences and insights with us and our levelers today. Before we let you go, like you said, you mentioned your podcast. Where can the folks find out more about you, your writing, your murder coaster podcast? Time to plug yourself, man. Give us all the details.
My website is www.matthewvbrockmeyer.com. The Murder Coaster is www.murdercoasterpodcast.com. I'm on Facebook as Matthew Brockmeyer and the Humboldt Lycanthrope. The podcast is on Instagram and TikTok. Murder Coaster, you can't miss it. And anywhere we'll if you listen to podcasts, just type in Murder Coaster, pop right up.
Okay.
We'll make sure to list all those in our description for this one.
Thank you so much.
Matthew, thanks for joining us again. Brian, I'll tell you what, bro, this definitely one of our most interesting guests yet.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot for sure.
It was my absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
Levelers, let us know what you thought of the episode. Remember, stay tuned. More dank content coming your way. For now, though, I'm your host, Chris, alongside Brian. We'll catch you on the next episode of High Level Chronicles. Stay leveled up. We are out.
Thanks for listening to High Level Chronicles. See you next time.
Thank you again for listening to High Level Chronicles. Please help us grow by leaving us a review wherever you listen to us at, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, Alexa. Your reviews will help our show grow and help us reach a broader audience. Also, we are always looking for new show sponsors, so please reach out if you're interested. You can hit us on our social media or email us info@highlevelchronicles.com. Thanks again for listening.